The following interview was recorded on June 19, 2007 with Hagar Mohammed by Zach Conrad for the Star City Treasures AmeriCorps Oral History Project. Hagar, thank you so much for doing this interview.
My pleasure.
Hagar, could you please tell me about your childhood?
I was born in Sudan, South Sudan. The city was named Yambio. We were 15.
15?
15 kids.
There's 15 kids in your family?
In one family.
Oh, my goodness.
But three stepmothers, including my mom. So I had a nice childhood. My father said, sent all of his kids to school. He admired school. So we were really good at school. And then the situation started getting worse. The war started, the break between South and North. And then it was really bad in South. And then my father sent some of his kids, including me, to the north, which was safe. And then there, my sisters and brother and me continue education. And that's all I can remember.
Did your father have an education?
Yes, until fourth grade.
Until fourth grade,
yes.
What made your father so interested in you guys getting an education?
Because by that time, anyone who goes to school benefits more, get good job and better life.
Did it cost for you to go to school?
No, education was free.
It's free. How old were you when the war broke out?
I can't remember. It broke out twice. At the first, I was 7. And then peace process stopped. And then it broke again. The second time, I was 17.
So there's a 10-year... So up to the age of 7, what was your house like?
It was huge house, but there was no electricity. We had no faucet.
Running water?
No. We just... some people deliver... water to the houses and you pay. So, but there was a lot of roots because the climate is rainy. It rained for 9 months and 3 months only summer and winter. So the town was rich. You can never see a tree without like crop. Fruit. Yeah. So when I came here to Lincoln, I feel, oh no, I want to see something in the trees, flowers, everything, anything, but I don't see anything, so it's really different from my country.
Yeah. How did the war, the first war when you were 7, affect your family?
The city was shut down. No business, no schools, no hospitals, nothing. People just there, sitting, waiting for up and ending. So we stayed for 2 years. No business, nothing. No any health care. Rarely we hear one car in the city, like once in a while, like once a week. So the city was completely dead. People slept at 7. At 7 you should be in your room.
At 7 at night.
At 7.
Even if the sun was still up?
You should be inside. Otherwise, you never know. You might get caught, killed. So it was horrible for the kids. We played only a few hours. And then go inside. And any time the gun shooting stopped, and then we should run and hide under the bed. It was horrible.
How long did the war take place the first time?
I don't remember, because I was young.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh, after the war, during the peacetime, how was life then?
We've got a lot of support international. All the countries around support the peace, and they give the government, the people, they support us with many things, and then the schools start opening and business start running, and life was really wonderful. And then again,
war broke out again. What prompted your dad to send you guys to the north?
It was dangerous for our life. Really dangerous. The insurgent would come to your house, lock the door, pull you out, and shoot you in front of your kids. So it happened. I saw my cousin got killed. They knocked they broke the door and pulled him out and shot him. Many.
Were they targeting specific people, or was it random?
It's random. If someone don't get along with anyone, it would just come at night and kill.
How did your dad, your father, choose who would go to the north and who would stay?
He chose to send the youngest. And the oldest, he said, it's your choice. If you want to stay, that's fine. But if you want to go look for your future, you are free to go. But me, I'm old enough. I'm dying anyway, so I don't need to run away from my homeland. I will stay here, remain here until I die. And then most of my brothers and sisters follow to the north.
Out of the 15, how many follow?
Some of them were already out from the town, yeah. They married already, so okay.
Where did you go when you went to the north?
We went to a relative house. There was 35 people in one house. One bathroom and 3 bedrooms. 35 people. But in North Sudan, people sleep outside of the rooms because it's really hot. So nobody sleep inside. Till now, people sleep outside because it's fresh and...
Outside of the house?
Of the bedrooms.
Of the bedrooms.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So imagine 35 persons using one bathroom.
How are the houses different?
Yes.
There than they are here?
Yes.
How are they different?
They're built out of bricks, if I pronounce it well. Bricks.
Yeah, bricks.
But yeah. So, but here I don't know, it's different.
Are the shapes the same? Or
different. It's more poor than here. No carpet. At all.
What holidays were celebrated in your family?
We celebrate many holidays. We celebrate Christmas, Ramadan, Eid, and when people go to Hajj, Muslim people, and we celebrate like Independence Day. It's January 1st in Sudan. We had a lot of like celebration.
Well, what would you do for these celebrations?
If we had money, we go buy stuff and change the house to nice, and we bought like clothes and shoes, perfumes. We share gifts sometimes, and we bake like cookies, like give it to people. So it's just in the way, kind of like
yeah. Here. Were there traditional foods that you would have at
yeah.
certain? Like what would be an example of some traditional foods that you would have at certain celebrations?
There, people love meat, so it's a lot of like not barbecue, but something look like barbecue, and stew, vegetables.
In the north, you continued your education?
Yes, it was free. But it was hard.
Well, tell me about your education.
I studied elementary school in South Sudan, and then middle and high school in north. And then university, I started in North Sudan, and then the situation got worse. And then I left to Cairo, Egypt. There, it was the college and universities was free for Sudanese students because we have Nile River,
mm-hmm.
and we have extra water that Egyptian benefits that, and then they pay our tuition. And, yeah, so that's why we got free education.
What was the schools like in South Sudan?
It was British system when the British colonial in Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
They made a lot of you could see the school was built the way schools in British.
Okay.
So it's British system. English school, middle school, and high school.
What language was taught in the schools?
Both English and Arabic in South. But in North, it was only Arabic.
What language was spoken in your home?
Three languages. Kids speak Arabic, English, and dialect.
The regional
dialect. Yeah, and more sometimes. We understood maybe dialect because the school was mixed. So we when we were kids.
How far away was your school in the South Sudan?
Like, what do you mean?
How long did it take you to get to school?
It was more than 5 miles, and I had to walk. Every day.
There and back?
Yes, yes. More of 7 miles.
7 miles,
yeah.
There and back.
Every day. And we went happy, sing a song, and walk. And there was nothing. And we ate fruits while we were walking because the street was all trees full of mangoes, and you eat and walk.
How long did it take you?
As much as it's open.
Yeah.
And mothers and parents never get worried before the war break. And then after, there was no school.
Yeah.
We walk like group of kids walk together.
Now, in the North Sudan, what was that school system like?
It's the same British system, but we did not like it. We did not like school in North.
What was the difference?
It was the weather. It's more desert in North.
Okay.
So we did not like school in North Sudan.
Was it closer to you?
No, it's the same. It was far. And when we get home, we have to wash our clothes every day using hands. No washing machines, no dryers. We just wash and use our hands to wash every day.
When you went to college, the first time you went in the Sudan?
Yes.
Well, what was that like?
It was law school. There, when a student finish high school, if you want to study like medicine school or law school, you would just go direct.
Straight there?
Yeah, straight there.
Not like here?
No.
Okay.
No.
So what prompted you to choose law school?
I'm kind of person who like to mediate between people. Like if there is problem, I feel interested in making them get along and stop fighting or stop misunderstanding each other. So I, from the beginning, when I was a child, I will be a lawyer. I want to be a lawyer to mediate between people, make them happy. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Were you able to complete the law school there?
Yes, I complete law school in Egypt.
In Egypt. Where could you practice law?
I can practice it in Sudan.
Sudan?
Yeah.
Could you practice in Egypt as well?
No, because Egypt is a big population. There more than 85 million or 80 million. They don't need some people come from outside. They don't have like job for their own people.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot. But I can practice because I study in Egypt. It's just they don't have opening.
Gotcha. Well, how did that translate? How did that help you to do what you're doing now?
Yeah, I do help families explain interpret to them, and sometimes I make it easier for them because people from my country, some of them never been to school, or some just went to school for few years, like 3 years, 4 years. So it makes me feel like I'm practicing law indirect by helping
yeah.
people.
How long have you been married for?
Six, since I moved here to Lincoln.
You found your husband here?
I came to Vegas for the first time when I came to the United States. I never hear there is a city named Vegas, and then they said, you are going to Vegas. And then when I came to Vegas, I talked to the lady, my husband's ex-wife, over the phone. She was sick. She was diagnosed with cancer.
Diagnosed?
She was dying. And then she said, oh, I'm dying. Please take care of my family and take care of my kids. And that time I was alone and felt lonely. I said, okay, I wish you survive, or I wish you get well, not die, but... And then when she died, I saw the family need someone to support, to replace mom or to help as a mother. And then I came and I met this guy without any background. No, I'm suffering.
So, when in when you were in Cairo, what were the circumstances to you coming to America?
It was the situation, but in Sudan, the government was fundamental is Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
I am against fundamentalism. They don't let people free, freedom of speech. There was no freedom of speech. And, you must be the follower. And that's, I hate it. I did not like it. I decided to stay in Egypt, but Egypt was crowded. They don't need more people. And then when United Nations opened, any Sudanese people wants to travel out Egypt, they can come and apply. I just applied. I didn't know where I was going. And then it happened to me. I'm like, I'm excited.
Did they also choose what city you would go to?
Mm-hmm. You have no choice. Just apply and then wait.
How long did the process take?
Oh, it took 1 year.
1 year.
For some people, 3 years. But 1 year, every day I had to go to the United Nations office from 7 to 7. Sit down in front of the office to show them my face. I am here, I'm suffering, I want to get out of this place. And then they will understand, oh, really, she's suffering or he is suffering. Okay, come here. Processing.
Every day?
Every day, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
You went down to the UN building?
Yes. Sit outside on the stone, not inside, outside.
How many people would do this?
Oh, many. Hundreds of people. Kids, old people, young people. Oh, it was very horrible. And we did not eat no food, just stay until you get home and just eat anything, whatever.
Wow.
I was skinny. When I came here, I was 90 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So they said Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
What did you know about America at that point?
Oh, we love America.
Yeah?
Really, yeah. At the beginning, when I was in Sudan, the law school which I attend, when I go to the college, I shoot across the American embassy every day, and I feel comfortable. We love America. And if someone came from America, oh, it would be special, really special.
What did you know about Las Vegas?
None.
Now, before you came over, what did you do to learn more?
Nothing. I just came blind. And when I came, I had my small radio, tiny radio. I didn't know anyone. I don't know how it looks like, and then at night I just turn on my radio, listen to anything because I was alone.
How do they, where did you know where to live?
They prepare everything for us. The Catholic Church prepared the apartment, food, everything, clothing. They support for 3 months.
For 3 months? Mm-hmm. Were other Sudanese going to Las Vegas?
Yes, there was many.
Did they all get arranged in the same place?
Yes.
Were you able to talk to them?
Yes. The Catholic Charities prepared everything, and then they tell the Sudanese, oh, there is Sudanese, another Sudanese coming, and then they welcome.
So was America everything you thought it would be when you went to Las Vegas?
What do you mean? Can you explain?
Did you have the same feelings when you were looking at the embassy in Sudan?
Yes.
Did you have the same feelings when you were actually
even
here?
Even more.
Even more?
Even more, yeah. Americans are nice people. I'm not saying this because you are sitting with me, but this is true. But sometimes politics is not good. Mm. Yeah. And here, they don't allow people to talk about politics, so...
Yeah. What were your experiences in Las Vegas? Tell me about Las Vegas.
Good. The first impression when I saw a lady driving bus, city bus. I never see lady driving city bus. And then I called my mom, you know what? Lady was driving the bus today. And she went, what? And then I wear pants, but with long shirt. But here, when I got hired in Las Vegas Hilton, they asked me to wear uniform with short t-shirt. And I was embarrassed because I never do that back home. And then when I start talking English, I thought I know English. And then people here don't understand, did not understand, what are you saying? And then I just sat down. So, and it was really not easy because American people speak fast at the beginning, but now I get used to it. And I like the city was really clean. And people were in Vegas were busy. They are always busy.
So when you're in Las Vegas, will you tell me about how you met your husband and his?
It was over the phone only. I was talking to my friend who came from Egypt to Nebraska. And then it happened that his ex-wife came to visit that friend of mine. And then she introduced me to that lady, to his ex-wife, saying, this is my best friend in Vegas. And then we talked. After my friend explained that this lady was sick, and she's dying anyway, I felt bad. And then from time to time, I call and check, how are you doing?
Was she from
Sudan?
She was also from Sudan.
From Sudan, yeah.
Okay.
And because I lost my sister, she died, and kids. And I saw this is dying too, and she's gonna leave with her kids. I just emotionally feel like, oh, same situation. And she said, would you please take care of my kids?
And where were they at that time?
In Lincoln.
They were here in Lincoln.
Yeah, and I was in Vegas.
So, how did you get to Lincoln?
I came to visit Lincoln to see how Lincoln looks like. At the beginning, I did not like Lincoln because Vegas is different. It's big city, and hotels, lights, and here it's so dark. Small houses, different color. Oh no. I almost 1 year I just didn't like it, and now I'm happy. Because the English people use here in Lincoln is the one I was looking for.
Oh.
Yeah.
When you married your husband, was it a traditional Sudanese wedding?
No, because he just lost his wife, and it was only 3 months. I came only to just help the family. And I did not think about happiness or joy. It's just to be there as mother. So there was no ceremony, no wedding, nothing, just paperwork, and that's it.
What would a Sudanese wedding be like?
They spend a lot of money. They spend many days preparing the groom and bride. And there will be a wedding, like wedding day. It's different from here. It's not organized like yours, like wedding here in the United States. It's not organized.
It's not organized?
No. It's not.
What do you mean?
It's like just people just come and go and everything is messed up. And they will never learn to be organized.
So people just show up whenever?
Yes. Even if you are not invited, you can, oh, there is ready, just get ready and go.
Yeah.
And you can just go there and eat. If there is food, just grab some and go sit down, eat, dance, and go.
I might have to try that.
But sometimes they like fight.
Fight.
If you want to know more, ask Lincoln Police.
Who fights?
Sudanese themselves. They easily get mad and lose their temper and get fighting and use force. It's just like our conversation now. Easily they get fired. Fighting stuff.
No kidding. So how do you feel about Lincoln now?
To be honest, people in Lincoln are nice, really nice. I'm not saying this because you are sitting with me. No, this is what I mean. And it's a safe place for everyone. But they are not friendly. They don't like visit. Like, I'm living here, nobody comes to my house, like, say hi. Or. But they are peaceful people. Streets. They're nice. Really nice.
I'm glad to hear that. What family is back in Sudan?
All of them. All of my family in Sudan. It's only me here. That's why I married this guy, because I don't have no family. So I said, okay, they need someone, I miss them all, we can make a combination.
Has your family thought about coming over here?
Oh, yeah, they are eager to come join me, but it's not easy. It's impossible. So, I feel sometimes like I will go back and be with them, because the family I'm living with now, I don't feel I'm one of them. I don't fit there. Mm-hmm. They think differently from me, so I might go back.
Has all of your family members survived the wars?
Mm-hmm. I miss two brothers and sisters. My sister died because of the war. We did not have money to take her to the hospital to get treatment. She died, and my father the same.
So, what problems face Sudan now?
It's Darfur region, the genocide. I did not understand much about what exactly going on. It's just from the media. There is, I think, Sanction, United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's running Sanction on the government there. And it will affect poor people. Poor people is the one going to pay.
Will that affect your family?
Yeah, of course.
How often do you get to talk to your family?
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And I am leaving soon on Monday, next Monday.
Next Monday?
Uh-huh.
To go back to Sudan?
To visit my, yeah, my mom.
How long will you be back for?
1 month. You want to come with me?
I would love to.
Invite your wife and let us go.
I would love to. That would be so much fun. What an experience. I will let my wife know.
Yeah.
When you talk to your family, do they ask you questions about America?
No. Just, how are you doing? Are you okay? Do you do? Do you have any time? The money you send, we receive it. It's just about food and money and just family talk.
Are you able to help them a lot?
Every month. Paycheck, send some to Sudan. Because there is 9 nieces and nephews in my house. My sister, my mother, she's old enough. So I am the support.
What's the process to get money from here to there?
When we get money, like get our check, we just go to Sudanese in general. We go to Hy-Vee, Western Union, and then send money. And then call, this is the money I am sending to you, this is the number, and then we go to the bank and get the money.
Now, looking back, how do you feel about Sudan? What are your feelings about Sudan?
I have no hope. No hope that the situation will change to better. And I have no hope that my family can join me here also. Because the process, people here start being crazy about immigrant people, they hate immigrant people. So, no hope. The government is not doing well, Islamic regime. So.
If you were to go back, what difference would you like to make?
For my family, do you mean? Or yeah, when I go there, I just think about getting out of these kids because they don't obey me as I want them. I have high expectation. I want them to get A in the classes, but they are lazy. They drive me crazy. So I feel like I want to get out sometimes. And there, when I go to Sudan, I consider myself to them as Santa Claus, who brings happiness to the kids. Now I have a lot of stuff taking to them, make them happy. So it's just small difference, not big difference.
Yeah. If you choose to go back and live in the Sudan,
mm-hmm.
would you be able to practice law? Would you want to be a lawyer?
No.
No.
I prefer to be a linguist. Because beside law school, I study Arabic literature, grammar. So I graduated twice. So now I feel like I'm more linguistic than a lawyer. So I prefer to be practicing law. English and the other both are my kids.
Now, if family was to come over here, how would you tell them to prepare to come here? What advice would you give them?
To be honest, my family are ready and easy to adapt everywhere, anywhere.
Yeah.
And they love education. So they like to know every day something new. So it's only just work hard, I could say.
What else can you tell me about your experiences here in America?
What exactly do you want me to answer this question?
Anything else that you can think of that we haven't covered that you'd like to talk about?
I'm quite sure many people who you interview said good things about America. So if I say good thing, it will make no difference to you because you already hear it from several people. But take my statement different from them or from there. I like people in America. They are so active. They are not lazy people. They work hard. They think every day something new. When I go to the store and find something new every day. And they respect each other. And they love each other, especially with kids. They are more than wonderful with kids. It's completely different from my country. People here talk to their kids. In Sudan, people don't talk to their kids.
Huh.
I don't know, is it because the poverty, the poorness, or I don't know. There was, or there is still no communication. Just sit down, please. Be quiet, please. Don't do this, please. That's all. But having fun, talking, chat with kids, I don't see that. So when I see people here talking to their kids, sometimes I stop and smile. The only thing I could ask American people to do is if they could, with Sudanese special, be more open. We are so friendly, we are missing this. We wish if American people could come close to us to know who we are, and if they could teach us how to change. Because I know there is many things we do wrong, but nobody tell us, no, you cannot do this. Like some people wear hats. It's not okay here to wear hats in front of like your boss or when you eat in the restaurant. We did not know that. We don't up till now. Many people don't know. So when people get close, it makes difference. But staying away, be cautious.
That's true. Well, is there anything else you would like to add?
Do you have any more questions? I wish if you could just delete, because I have accent and I made mistakes. I know myself. So.
Your interview was great and I thank you so much for doing it, and I refuse to delete it because it was really good.
Many mistakes. I'm still learning English.
Thank you so much for doing this interview.
My pleasure.